I've Got Your Number, written by Yaycock, read by Jennapod. Fandom, American Idol, Season 8, RPF. Pairing, Chris Allen, Adam Lambert. Adam hates Thanksgiving. There aren't even any presents, he grumbles, just like he has every year since he was 5. The best holidays have presents. We never even got to celebrate Christmas growing up, so I'm present deprived. Hanukkah has 8 nights of presents, douche, says Neil. You're so greedy. Last Thanksgiving, Adam had punched Neil in the face by the end of the meal. This year, he doesn't know if he'll make it that far. Adam, you're 26 years old, Leela says, wiping her hands on an old stained apron as she comes out of the kitchen. This is getting a little ridiculous, honey. And if you're not even going to help with the cooking, you certainly don't have any right to whine about a lack of presents on a holiday that's supposed to be all about thankfulness anyway. Yeah, Adam, says Neil. Appreciate what you have, douche. Adam is so not in the mood to appreciate what he has, especially because this year what he has no longer includes Brad, and if he thinks too much about that, he's guaranteed to punch something. Neil, in the face, before the turkey even comes out of the oven. He's just about to announce that he's foregoing the turkey this year anyway, ostensibly as part of a new diet, but mainly just so he can piss everyone off even more, when Leela opens her mouth again. Oh, I invited someone else, too. Do you boys remember my old college roommate, Kim? No, Adam thinks, just as Neil says, who? Kim Allen, Leela says brightly. She used to babysit you boys when you were tiny, before she moved to Arkansas, of all places. She's coming? Asks Adam. This is just what he needs to make the day even more unbearable. Some random friend of his mom, who's going to coo over him and tell him he's just as freckly now as when he was 3. No, honey, Leela says absently, as the oven timer dings out a 1-minute warning. Her son, Chris, do you remember him? You boys used to play naked in the backyard pool together. I have pictures. Anyway, he just moved to L.A. a week ago, and he doesn't know anyone out here yet, so of course I insisted he spend the day with us. Chris, when he arrives, turns out to be even worse than anything Adam could have imagined. He's wearing horrible khakis and a baggy dress shirt with a tie, wire-framed glasses, and a buzz cut that's even more depressing than Adam's 9th-grade attempt at bleaching his own strawberry-red hair. Adam had been hoping this random interloper would at least be cute, but if there's any potential there at all, it's hopelessly hidden behind a thick layer of geek. He calls Leela ma'am and offers to help set the table, which is just great, as if Adam didn't already look like the worst son in the world. Even Neil shoots a death glare at Chris's back when he presents the casserole he brought, which looks bright orange and gross. The Lambert boys do not cook, and Adam starts feeling a little warmer towards Neil, who can barely even heat water without burning the house down. Oh no, dear, you're a guest, Leela says, taking the silverware out of Chris's hands when he tries to make good on his table-setting offer. Adam, sweetie, why don't you show Chris the living room? You boys talk, and Neil can help with the table. Neil's positively glaring at Chris now, and Adam smirks a little on the inside as he leads the way into the living room. So, he asks, trying to keep the boredom out of his voice. You just moved to L.A.? Chris looks down, shy. I'm doing the whole pursuing my musical dreams thing, he says. You probably think that's totally lame. Adam does, kind of, except for the part where that's exactly what he's doing. So it would be more than a little hypocritical to laugh at Chris for it. Me too, actually, he says instead, and Chris looks up, surprised. Is it as impossible as everyone keeps telling me? He asks, smiling a little. Honestly, yeah, Adam says, and the smile slips off Chris's face. For some reason, Adam wants to put it back there. It's worth it, though, he says hurriedly. At least I'm not wasting my life doing something I hate, you know? And I've met a lot of really cool people. I dropped out of college, Chris says. And Adam laughs. Me too. After like a month. I lasted almost 4 years, Chris smiles back, then sobers up again. After I left Kate, my girlfriend. That's the weirdest part of this whole thing. We were together since middle school. Jesus, that's depressing, Adam says, before he can stop himself. He claps a hand over his mouth, horrified, but Chris is laughing. Kind of, yeah, he admits. I don't regret it, though, or anything. I loved her for a long time. But then it wasn't enough anymore. It's just not enough anymore, Adam, is exactly what Brad said to him 3 months ago. But for some reason, hearing Chris say it makes Adam feel better instead of worse. Yeah, he says softly. I think I get that. Chris opens his mouth, but before he can say anything, they hear Leela shout, "Turkey's ready!" from the kitchen, and Neil pokes his head through the doorframe. "Get your asses up, I'm starving," he whines, and Adam remembers that he's supposed to be in a bad mood today. It's hard to stay pissed off at the world, though, when his mom probably makes the best stuffing ever, and Neil actually splurged on a bottle of nice wine, not to mention that a tipsy Chris is criminally adorable. His cheeks are bright red, and the stupid glasses keep slipping down his nose when he laughs too hard at another one of Neil's jokes. Adam is generally of the opinion that Neil's jokes are totally lame, but Chris clearly thinks otherwise. "I've got another one," Neil says, thrilled at the prospect of a receptive audience. "Adam owes me for this, too. It's brilliant. I thought of it the other day. Dude, you need to do an album of classic rock covers and call it..." Neil starts sniggering and then recovers. "Call it Doin' Hella Dudes. Get it? Because he's covering songs by famous guys, but he also loves doing it with dudes." He can barely hold it together, shaking with the laughter he's trying to suppress. "Adam Lambert, Doing Hella Dudes. Oh man, I'm a fucking genius." Leela rolls her eyes indulgently, but Adam's kind of angry. He's not anything close to ashamed, but he does not want this to become the topic of conversation with Mr. Arkansas sitting there. Plus, it's probably the worst joke Neil has ever come up with, and that's saying something. Chris looks confused for like half a second before he bursts out laughing, chortling so hard that he starts snorting and then looks aghast at his own lack of table manners. His eyes fly wide open and he starts apologizing, and it's kind of the cutest thing Adam has ever seen. He smiles into his stuffing, a strange warmth building inside him. "Chris, honey, your mother told me something about a trip you went on last year?" Leela asks, mercifully changing the subject. And Chris catches his breath, then launches into some story about a missionary trip of all things. Apparently, he got really sick and almost died, and that's what inspired him to drop out of college and start taking his music really seriously. It's totally sappy and ridiculous, and also kind of inspiring, if Adam's being completely honest. "But there are less than no opportunities in Arkansas," Chris finishes, "so I had to move here." "Your poor mother," Leela says. "At least Adam only moved 2 hours away, even though he never bits us enough." "Mom, you know I have to work," Adam complains. "I'm in this play, Wicked," he explains to Chris. "I'm just an understudy, though." "Wow," Chris says. He sounds genuinely impressed. "I'd love to. I mean, could I see it? I want to hear you sing." "I could get you tickets," Adam kind of mumbles. For some reason, he's not sure if he wants Chris seeing him perform. Which is just stupid. Chris probably isn't even that great himself. Just some hick kid with a guitar and stupid glasses. Chris smiles brightly at him, looking sincerely grateful. And Adam feels bad, just like that. Jesus, what is wrong with him today? "Oh, if you want to hear Adam sing, you don't have to wait to see him perform," says Leela. Oh, shit. "Sweetie, can't you do that song you and Neil did last Passover? Crazy World, right? It was so lovely, you boys performing together like that." "Mad World, Mom, not Crazy World," Neil shakes his head. "I haven't played it in like a year, but I can try. It could be fun, as long as Adam doesn't mess up half the lyrics like last time." God, Neil is such an asshole. I will sing the lyrics impeccably, as long as you don't accidentally skip a sheet of music halfway through, he shoots back, and Neil gives him the finger. Chris looks slightly uncomfortable, but it could just be because he's trying not to burst out laughing again. By the time they finish dinner, including every last bit of Chris's surprisingly delicious squash casserole, Adam's almost too full to sing. Come on, you promised, Chris demands. If I sing, you have to sing too, he says, and Chris blushes. I don't have my guitar, he starts, but fair is fair, says Adam, and Chris nods. Okay, he says, like he's taking on a challenge. You go first, though. Adam's a little nervous as he stands up next to the piano, which is strange because he hasn't been nervous about performing outside of auditions for at least 5 years. He swallows down the small thrill of uncertainty, though, and by the time Neil gently starts in on the first few chords, he's able to lose himself in the music, just like always. He looks right at Chris when he sings, and he can barely hear his own voice over what he sees in Chris's eyes. It sounds so self-absorbed to call it awe, but there's really not another name for it, and it makes the small warmth in Adam's stomach bloom until it fills his whole body, head to toe, and pours out into the notes he's singing. Chris closes his eyes towards the end, and the look on his face is like, it's like what he's hearing is too much, in the same way that Adam used to feel too much when he looked at Brad in the beginning. And when he sees that on Chris's face, because of him, because of his music, his voice catches and warbles, and he just loses the last note completely. Wow, says Chris, so soft that Adam barely hears him over Leela's loud motherly applause. Your turn, he says to Chris, trying to smirk, and Chris swallows. I don't think I can follow that, he grins shakily. But Adam just smiles back, the warmth still tingling over every inch of his skin. You promised. Chris sits down at the piano, and Adam would already be pleasantly surprised, just by his ability to play an instrument. But then he starts singing, and, pleasant surprise, becomes holy fucking shit. Adam's never heard Ain't No Sunshine sung like this before, with longing filling up every corner of Chris's voice, until it becomes this tangible thing, surrounding him and pressing a hard lump into his throat. Chris's jaw juts out to the side when he reaches for the higher notes, and he squirms around excitedly on the piano bench, and Adam can't even breathe by the time he finishes. Holy fuck, Neil exclaims, and Leela's applauding again, on her feet, and Adam just sits there blankly, because shit, he hasn't been this overwhelmed by anyone since Brad again, and that is not a good thing, because Chris is geeky and straight and has stupid glasses and is southern and small and brunette and criminally adorable, says an evil voice in his head. Adam shuts that voice down hard, though, because he's so not going to do this right now. Crush on fucking Chris Allen, or any straight boy, really. He's totally used up his allotment of relationship fuck-ups for the year, thank you very much. So instead, he says, nice job, in a strangled voice, and goes upstairs to get himself under control. Adam is sitting on his old bed, idly tracing the figures on the X-Men sheets he won't let his mom throw away, when he hears a tentative knock on the door. Come in, he mumbles, not really looking forward to the lecture he knows he's about to get from his mom. But instead, Chris's short form peeks around the doorframe. Hey, he says, quiet. It's okay if you don't like my music, you know. You didn't have to run away. Anyway, your mom's serving the pie, so she sent me to get you. He starts to close the door behind him. Wait, Adam says, sudden. Don't go, and don't... I did not like your music. It was incredible, actually. You have to know that. You have to know how good you are. I'm not as good as you, though, Chris says, stepping back into the room. He sits down on the edge of the bed, tentative, and starts tracing Storm. Adam smiles. You're amazing, he says sincerely, and Chris blushes. Why'd you leave, then? He asks. I wanted to keep talking to you.
No offense, but Neil's not always as funny as he thinks he is. I left because you're too amazing, Adam says honestly. Fuck it, it doesn't matter. He'll probably never see this guy again anyway. What are you talking about? Chris sounds confused. Like everything else about him, it's adorable. And Adam groans internally. He moves from tracing the outline of Magneto over to Chris's Storm, watching the way their fingers carefully dance around each other. You're too amazing for a straight guy I'll probably never see again. Adam's voice is quiet. You're cute and funny and such a brilliant singer that I can't even believe it. And he just gives up. Because it's not like he has any dignity left anyways, now that Chris has seen the fucking sheets. And anyway, all that stuff makes you totally my type. As if being southern and tiny weren't enough. And lately I've been kind of stupid about stuff like that, I guess. Bad habit. So I left, for my sake. It was rude, though. I'm sorry. Chris is silent, but his fingers move softly over the worn sheet until they tangle with Adam's larger ones. Adam's breath catches, and he stills, feeling his heart pound painfully inside his chest. Chris twines their fingers together more firmly until they're holding hands for real, and then he speaks. You know how I said almost dying made me realize I wanted to pursue my music? He asks softly, and Adam nods. It also made me realize that loving Katie wasn't enough anymore, because it wasn't making all the thoughts I had about guys go away. His voice is trembling just slightly, and Adam wonders if he's ever told anyone that before. You really think all those things about me? Chris asks, and Adam's yes is a little too sincere for comfort. Kind of scary with how he means it. Can I kiss you? He asks, because he feels like he needs permission after what Chris has just entrusted to him. Yes, please, Chris says with a tiny breathless laugh, and Adam captures his soft lips, licks gently into his smiling mouth, and thinks, thank you, thank you, thank you, as Chris's hands come up to tangle in his hair. Chris's mouth is warm against his, and he's breathing heavily, gasping a little, and Adam pulls back to catch his own breath. A lost little whine escapes from Chris, and Adam reaches up, strokes across his jaw, and kisses the dip right beneath his ear, licks slowly down the side of his neck. Chris is panting now, and Adam's more turned on than he thought he would be by the thought that Chris has almost certainly never done this before, with a guy, that even if it's just kissing, he gets to be the first. Come on, says Chris, impatient, and pulls Adam's mouth back down to his. He starts fumbling at Adam's shirt, tugging it out from where it's tucked into his jeans. And wow, maybe they aren't just going to be kissing after all. Whoa, hang on, Adam says, because honestly, he's starting to feel a little out of his depth. What with pie downstairs and being in his old bedroom and kissing this guy he thought was straight up until, like, 2 seconds ago. Chris's hands fall away, back down to the worn old sheets, and he looks almost ashamed, embarrassed. And no, that's not right. That's not what Adam meant at all. Hey, he says, grabbing Chris's hands and putting them back around his neck. I just want to make sure that you're sure. You're sure, right? He really fucking hopes Chris is sure, because his stupid hair is mussed and his glasses are threatening to slip sideways off his face, and his lips are red and bitten, and Adam wants him as much as he's wanted anything in a very long time. I'm very sure, Chris smiles. And suddenly, Adam can't even deal. He has to get his hands on Chris's skin right this second. And he pushes Chris back down against the too small twin bed and kisses the surprised noises right out of his mouth. He sucks kisses down Chris's jaw, more frantic than gentle at this point, and his hands fumble with the frustrating buttons of Chris's annoyingly large shirt. Chris is tugging at his own tie, and finally their combined efforts are successful, and Adam runs his hand against warm, bare skin, spreads Chris's shirt over his shoulders and off, and pulls back for a second, just to look. His chest is slender, muscular, and the golden skin is rising and falling rapidly with his panting breaths. There's a small scar just at the bottom of his rib cage, and Chris sucks in a breath when Adam runs his fingers gently along it. "Damn," Adam says, sounding a little strangled. "It's kind of criminal that you're hiding this body under those terrible clothes. We're gonna have to go shopping, you know." Chris frowns slightly, like it never occurred to him that there might be anything wrong with his clothing. And Adam lifts his glasses off and kisses him, slow and soft, heat building between them, until Chris is scrabbling at his shirt again, hard in his jeans and biting at Adam's bottom lip. Chris lays his fingers out over Adam's stomach when his shirt finally comes off, examines his freckly pale skin critically, and then smiles, looking positively delighted. "So many," he laughs, and Adam makes a show of grabbing his hands away, but inside he feels like he's buzzing, overly bright and happy. The feeling's too big, sort of, and he has to do something other than think about it, so he holds Chris's hands down on the bed above his head and sucks kisses down the center of his chest, biting gently at the smooth skin and savoring the way Chris wriggles and twitches beneath him. When he gets to the scar, he licks it slowly, broad swipes of his tongue against the slight raised line, and Chris gasps and jerks his hips up helplessly, twisting in Adam's grip. "Fuck," says Adam. "Okay, okay." And he lets go of Chris's hands, runs his own palms down either side of Chris's torso until he's gripping his slender hips. Chris's hands are back in Adam's hair, flexing and pulling just slightly, and Adam can barely get his jeans down fast enough. Thank God they're so baggy, honestly. "Can I?" he asks again, looking up. Because as into this as Chris seems to be, things are still moving scary fast, and Adam needs to be sure they're still on the same page. He really doesn't want to fuck this one up. "Is that... would you... oh, God," Chris gets out, and Adam's impatient enough to take that for the definitive yes he hopes it is. Chris is wearing white briefs, which is really not surprising at all, and Adam mouths over his hard cock through the cotton for a few seconds, getting the soft material wet enough that some of Chris's taste starts to seep through against his tongue. "Please, please, yes," Chris moans, and okay, that's more than good enough. Adam pulls the briefs down gently, takes a second to run his hands over Chris's hard, hot length before he swallows him down almost all the way, breathing through his nose and pressing with his tongue until Chris shakes and cries out, so quickly that it would be embarrassing if it wasn't the hottest fucking thing that Adam's experienced in a while. He slides up next to Chris, who just looks at him, that hint of awe back in his eyes, and reaches out to brush Adam's sweaty hair off his forehead. "Hey," Chris says, hoarse. His fingers are light as they flicker over Adam's brow, and Adam tucks his face into the hollow of Chris's collarbone, slippery slick with perspiration, and breathes deep and slow. Chris's heart is still pounding a mile-a-minute beat that Adam can feel so clearly where their chests are pressed up against one another. "Hey," he mumbles back. Chris smells like sweat and detergent and the squash casserole he must have made earlier that day, and Adam scrapes his teeth gently along the skin over his shoulder, smiling to himself when Chris shivers, oversensitive. Chris's hand plays with the light hairs on Adam's stomach, starts to slip down below his waistband, which seems like the best idea in the entire world, until Adam hears pounding footsteps coming up the stairs just outside the door. "Shit!" he bites out, sitting up in a flash and looking around frantically for his shirt. Chris only has half the buttons down on his shirt when the door handle starts to turn. Adam feels like he's 14 again, hiding his secondhand porn beneath the pillow just in time and flipping face down on the mattress so whichever parent it is this time won't see his hard on. Neil does what's actually a pretty hilarious double take when he gets the door open. But Adam's not all that amused because, seriously, he was about to get a hand job and his stupid little brother interrupted. "Don't you knock?" he asks. And Neil just opens his mouth wordlessly. He can't remember the last time he saw Neil speechless. "Just, pie, Downstairs. We're waiting, Neil manages, then looks slowly from Chris to Adam one last time before shaking his head, still utterly stunned, and closing the door behind him. Oh, God, says Chris, looking kind of sick. He totally knew, didn't he? Oh, my God, is he going to tell your mom? It's exactly the kind of stupid high school scenario Adam never got the chance to experience. And the thought that he's living through it now, at 26, is kind of ironically, bitterly beautiful. Who cares? He asks, because Chris is all squinty without his glasses on, and he's having trouble tying his awful tie, and Adam doesn't really give a shit whether or not his mother knows that they just engaged in oral sex while she set out the apple pie and made Neil get the dessert plates from the basement. Even for all that, the awkwardness is pretty hard to avoid when they reach the bottom of the stairs and Leela just raises her eyebrows at him, disapproval and resignation warring on her face. If Adam is feeling mildly embarrassed, Chris is absolutely mortified. He fiddles awkwardly with his tie, red heat creeping down below his collar, and he chews his bottom lip in a way that is positively distracting. Chris, honey, Leela asks in a kind attempt to save him from his obvious misery. Do you want pumpkin or apple? Ever since they were little, Neil's loved pumpkin and hated apple, and Adam's exactly the opposite, of course, so I always have to make both. Don't lie, Neil says, starting to stuff pie into his mouth. You just love pie. I know where all those leftovers go every year, Mom, and it's definitely not into the compost. Chris blushes again, as if just being spoken to reminds him all over again of everything that's going on, and makes an uncertain noise. I like apple, but...
Adam's apple, sniggers Neil,
and Adam shoots him a look that's the equivalent of two middle fingers and a kick in the balls. Neil quails, just slightly. Chris chokes a little, but does his best to recover. Is there a bathroom on this floor? He asks. Right down the hall and to the left, sweetie, Leela answers, and as soon as he's safely out of sight, she whirls on Adam and shakes her head with as much motherly disappointment as he's seen since he actually showed up drunk to his aunt's birthday party 5 years ago. What? He asks, defensive. We're adults. He's... Shit, are we really even having this conversation? Neil's off before Leela can even open her mouth. I can't believe you just banged the geeky straight kid from Arkansas during Thanksgiving dinner. Damn, Adam. I expected shit like this when you were dating Brad, but this is an impressive level of uber slut, even for you. Adam punches him in the shoulder. Hard. Shit, Adam, that fucking hurts. Hun, you know you deserve that, Leela says when he turns to her for sympathy. Adam, though, I'm just worried about Chris. You haven't been the most pleasant person to be around the past few months. And that's understandable, honey, of course. But Kim's told me a lot about Chris, and he's just gotten here. He's so young. I know you're starting to enjoy being single again, and I'm happy about it. But I don't know if Chris was the right person to move on with. Adam's torn between absolute mortification and a strange sense of guilt. It's so far beyond none of your business, Mom, he says. But his attempt at disdainful superiority is pretty weak. The thing is that maybe she's right. Chris is sweet and wears glasses and goes on church missions. Adam is kind of an asshole, at least right now. And he wears fake eyelashes and believes strongly in the gospel of the Sunday morning wake and bake. Leela looks like she's about to say something else. But then Chris walks tentatively back through the doorway, still flushed around the ears and collar, and an awkward silence falls over the kitchen. Are you okay? He asks Neil, who's still rubbing at his shoulder and grimacing. Neil gives him a resigned smirk. Adam may wear shit like that, he says, nodding at the rhinestone-covered Bowie tee that was Adam's sartorial middle finger to the idea of dressing up, or really, dressing like Chris, for the meal. But he's so fucking far from a pussy, which is something I really need to remember. He's also apparently kind of protective for your reputation, if not your virtue. Chris's blush is back again, in full force, and Adam wants to feel the flush on his cheek, follow the rising traces of heat with his fingers and tongue, unbutton that wrinkled collar, and map the spread of pink over. Pie?
Leela's looking at us pointedly, and Adam clears his throat, feeling his own cheeks flare with warmth. By the time he and Chris have each taken a slice of apple, some of the awkwardness is starting to seep from the room. Niels moved on to ranting about Bush, which is always enough to distract him for at least a good 15 minutes, and the pie is warm and sweet and taking all of Adam's concentration.
"'S good," Chris mumbles through a mouthful.
His eyes widen in comic shock when he realizes he's just talked with food in his mouth, and Adam laughs. Fuck it, the boy is adorable. Chris closes his mouth and quirks a grin from across the table.
"So, Chris," Leela says, when Neil pauses his angry monologue to shovel some pie into his mouth. "I know you moved here for your music, but tell me what else you've been up to around the city."
I haven't had that much time to explore yet. It's a little confusing," Chris says, but it's clear that he means confusing in the best way possible. Exciting and wide open and possible.
I could show you around some," Adam offers suddenly.
Chris is a stupidly geeky actual real-life missionary, yes, but he's not exactly boring. He might not want to dress up crazy. He's probably never met a drag queen, for fuck's sake. But he loves music. There are places Adam could take him. Maybe Chris wants to see those places. The stuff he never could have found back in Arkansas.
I'd like that. And Chris is barely even blushing this time. Adam concentrates fiercely on his pie, and Neil picks up enthusiastically where he left off.
"I'll walk you to the door," Adam says, when Chris finally overcomes Leela's insistence that he stay another hour, at least. The four of them have been around that fucking table for so long that everything that happened in Adam's bedroom seems like it might have been some tryptophan-induced hallucination, at least until Chris pushes Adam up against the wall in the narrow hallway and kisses him hard.
"So you're actually going to show me around, right?" Chris asks when he pulls away.
He's a little breathless, adrenaline and nerves lacing his voice, and Adam thinks maybe Chris actually would want to get dressed up someday. Who knows? Maybe in return he'd go to a soup kitchen or whatever it is that Chris does for fun.
"Tell you what," Adam says, "you give me your number right now, and when I get home tomorrow I'll give you a call, take you out or something."
"Taking me out, like on a date?"
"Take you out, like to my friend Cass's runaway show, and Allison's open mic, and then a club, and then back to my apartment."
It's dark in the hallway, but Adam knows enough to imagine Chris's growing blush, and he holds his breath, because he thinks he might really want this with Chris, but this is what his life is, and that isn't going to change.
"Can I buy you dinner the next night, then?" Chris asks, and Adam presses his sudden grin to Chris's ear.
"You don't know any good restaurants, though," he answers, and Chris laughs.
"You'll show me," he says.
And Adam kisses him until Chris has to leave for real. He walks back towards the kitchen with Chris's number in his phone, like a tangible weight in his pocket. Some digital key to happiness and growth and all that amazing bullshit he really does try to believe in when he isn't feeling too self-hating and mean. He can have all those things without Chris, he knows. It might be easier to get them with him, though, and he's pretty sure he's going to try. End.